On today's edition of The Front Row, we are in the sanctuary of Lubbock's First United Methodist Church, beautiful stained glass building. And joining us are Bradley Vogel, who is on the staff here as Interim Director of Traditional Ministries, and Eric Allen, who is taking a lot of choral responsibility these days, both of which feature great music here at First United Methodist Church. Welcome to you both. Glad to have you on the show today. Bradley, let me begin with you. There's a concert taking place this Sunday afternoon as part of a Vesper concert series, and it also coincides with a specific time of year. Tell us a little bit about the concert series and about this particular concert itself.
Well, our concert series is called Vesper, and it's been around for about 46 years, I believe, and it's been devised as a gift to our community from First United Methodist Church. Free concerts to anyone who wants to come. And this particular concert is for All Saints Day, which celebrates the lives we have lost this past year and their entrance into heaven. And so we are celebrating that with John Rutter's Requiem, which features our own chancel choir, as well as organ and a small ensemble of flute, harp, oboe, glockenspiel, timpani, and cello.
And tell us a little bit more, like times and dates, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Our Vesper concert is on Sunday, November 5th at 5 p.m., and following there will be a reception.
Okay, and people can just come. Mm-hmm. It's not a ticketed event or anything like that, right?
That's correct.
Excellent, okay. And for people who want more information, what's the best place to find that?
Our website has our full schedule, as well as our Facebook page. So you can check that out. It's fumc.com.
And more information about all of the Vesper concerts probably there, right? For mm-hmm. this entire rest of the year. That's Bradley Vogel, who is the Interim Director of Traditional Music Ministries here at First United Methodist Church. I'd like to ask Eric Allen about this particular concert, as you're conducting it, I'm guessing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right. Tell us a little bit about Rutter Requiem and the forces that are involved with that and conducting the piece itself.
Well, absolutely. Well, Rutter Requiem is certainly something that a lot of churches are experiencing this time of year, and many of the members of this choir have presented this piece before, but written in 1985, somewhat of a nod to Brahms and Fauré, but not in a tradition, not strict traditional form of what we might hear in a traditional requiem. There's a mix of Latin text with English text, and not necessarily in a set order that you might see exactly in a traditional mass requiem.
Right.
However, you will hear some of those traditional sounds, and certainly in a very, very meaningful way. And so we're really excited to present it. The choir has worked really, really hard, and our orchestra is first class. Of course, Bradley is playing organ, and that's worth the trip right there.
Right.
So,
right.
But we're just thrilled to present it. I will say that there will also be some other performances to precede the Rutter on this concert as well. We have some guest soloists that are going to open the concert. We'll start with Dr. Helen Kim Sills, who many in the community know as a world-class pianist, and she'll be joining us and presenting a beautiful rendition of Great Is Thy Faithfulness, arranged by Mark Hayes. Rachel Mazzucco will be sharing a harp piece by Hovenes. One of our choir members, and who also a flutist in town, Brianna Dunn, will also be presenting a solo. And then we'll get to hear Bradley Vogel again presenting a solo work on organ as well. All of that to precede the Rutter, which I think this is just going to be a really special evening.
You mentioned something that's kind of interesting, that the Rutter Requiem is a piece written for this time of year, for the time of All Saints. But you mentioned that it's not a Missa pro defunctis. It's not a Catholic requiem specifically specified liturgy. What did you mean by that?
Well, in the traditional mass would be a very strict order, and this requiem flexes from that a bit. And so the opening piece, the Requiem Aeternum, Grant Them Rest, Eternal, is followed by a piece in English, Out of the Deep, which really dives into the depth of what our souls feel in this moment.
So it's not all in Latin.
No, right. No. Yeah. There are most of the Requiem is in Latin, but then the second to last movement, The Lord is My Shepherd, is a nod to the 23rd Psalm, and I've yet to be able to listen or conduct this movement without falling apart myself. It's just so touching and so moving, and the choir is just really bringing that to life. And so all of which, these movements are a prayer, if you will, to God, granting, begging and pleading for the granting of eternal rest, eternal peace.
And peace for those of us left behind.
Peace for those of us left behind. And right. and many are here for this to heal.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Bradley, Eric said that you're actually playing a piece, a solo piece for organ. Tell us about that.
Yes, I will play Apparition of the Eternal Church by Olivier Messiaen. And this piece is fairly long and fairly slow and features this repetitive and rhythmic bass line that Messiaen described as the construction of creation. And the piece itself has a program which Messiaen intended, which is the eternal church slowly coming into view and then fading back. And so the piece begins quiet and with very dissonant chords giving way to open fifth sonorities, and as the piece progresses, it gets increasingly louder and also more dissonant, and finally climaxes with the suspension of a C major chord, just very bright and magnificent. And in that moment, you can really imagine seeing the eternal church come down from heaven and be in its presence. And then as slowly as it came, it fades back into out of sight.
Messiaen was a very devout French Catholic composer. Mm-hmm. So this piece obviously very heartfelt, mm-hmm. and absolutely his own vision. Well, we're excited to hear that. Once again, Bradley, if you would tell us time, date, place, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. The concert is this Sunday, November 5th at 5 p.m. in our sanctuary at First United Methodist Church in Lubbock.
All right. Eric, anything else you want to add?
Oh, we're just so thrilled to be able to present this, and I'm honored to be a part of this. The people in this that are performing on this event are bringing every bit of their heart to this, and so it'll be worth the experience. We hope everyone will come and join us. And keep track of the time change that day, of course.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. All right. Our guests on the show today, Eric Allen and Bradley Vogel. You're listening to The Front Row on FM 89.1. On this segment of The Front Row, we are in the Cultural District, downtown Lubbock, in the offices of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, where our special guest is David Cho, music director and conductor of the LSO. David, it's great to see you. Welcome back to The Front Row. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Clint.
The Lubbock Symphony has a concert coming up this weekend. Tell us about it.
It's The Firebird. We're featuring Igor Stravinsky's 1945 version of The Firebird Suite, along with Qian, world-renowned violinist performing Mozart's most effervescent and beloved violin concerto number 5 called Turkish, along with Tchaikovsky's Francesca da Rimini.
What a great program. That's tomorrow night, Saturday night, and ticket information is available how?
Go to our website, lubbocksymphony.org, or call us at 762-1688. I would like to highly recommend all the students listening. We do have student rush tickets 1 hour before the show at the box office at Buddy Holly Hall. With student ID, you can purchase a symphony ticket for $10. And before the concert, we have what's called Clef Notes at 6:30. It's comparable to a pre-concert lecture. Come listen to us talk about what you're about to hear.
Excellent. What an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. And let's take just a moment to really unpack musically the program. What starts the concert?
We're starting off with Tchaikovsky's Francesca da Rimini. What a perfect way to celebrate post-Halloween. And it's a wonderful fantasia, kind of gloomy, but Tchaikovsky couldn't run away from who he was. He was an amazing melodist and dramatist, and there is signature Tchaikovsky harmony and melody everywhere on this fantasia.
Right. It's very dramatic music too, yes.
Very gloomy and weepy, but there is a glimmer of hope, in there's a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. And it's based on Dante's Inferno, and one of the segments is about Francesca from Rimini being reserved a part of the Inferno. And the music is about reminiscing on the happy days while presently suffering. And I think there's nothing more sad than that. But in the midst of all that gloom, Tchaikovsky brings out the most amazing harmony and excitement, that it'll give you chills with not only the beautiful melody, but just the staggering articulation and just descending into the hell. That's the hell of Dante's Inferno.
Right.
And I think, in spite of all the gloom and scariness, how appropriate for post-Halloween, again. But it's a great, great piece of fantasia.
Yeah. It's very well orchestrated. It's really interesting to listen to, don't you think?
Yes, it begins with the tam-tam, otherwise known as gong, you know, signifying the descent into the level of hell.
Right.
And, of course, one-third of the way through the fantasia, there's that beautiful clarinet melody which depicts Francesca weeping. And Tchaikovsky just brings out the best out of it. It's incredible.
Right. Yeah. Great writing for the winds, as you said. Great melodies for the strings, brass eruptions. It's great.
Oh, it's going to be a great opener. It's 26 minutes long. It's a rather long prelude, but it's one of Tchaikovsky's greatest works.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad to bring it to the fore.
And following that, some completely different music. Music by Mozart.
Tell us about it. Well, it'll take me a few minutes to reset after Francesca da Rimini. Mozart's Violin Concerto No. 5, played by Qi Yun. She was invited to perform with the Lubbock Symphony 4 years ago, but due to the pandemic, we postponed it at least 3 times.
Mm.
We're so happy that she is able to come finally to Lubbock to make her debut with the Lubbock Symphony. And she has participated in our education concerts this past Thursday, playing for 3,000 fifth graders from the Lubbock area and our satellite towns. And it's named as Turkish because the last movement employs this very percussive nature of the cellos and basses called kolenyo, hitting the strings with the wooden part
with
of the bow.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting and, of course, amazingly beautiful.
Yeah.
And she's going to play the Joachim cadenzas.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Well, that will be beautiful to listen to.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be contrasting two pieces in the first half.
Right. And then I guess you'll have intermission. And following that, music by Stravinsky. He wrote, there's the 4 great ballets. There's Rite of Spring, Pulcinella, and Petrushka, and this ballet, The Firebird. Tell us about The Firebird and why it's unique and why you chose it.
Well, it's a fairy tale, and Stravinsky was a young, aspiring composer and conductor. And I guess Glazunov or some well-known Russian composer, when asked by Belarus to score for The Firebird, they procrastinated and hadn't even started. So Diaghilev asked Stravinsky to write this, and he went right to work. And from the ballet score, he extracted what's called a suite, compiling famous movements. I think the earliest version we know of is 1911 version, followed by 1919, followed by, I think there's another version, maybe the 20s. Of course, the last one is 1945, mm-hmm. which we'll be performing. It's 6 minutes longer than the famous 1919 or 1911 version. Mm-hmm. And it has the six extra movements that people wouldn't normally hear in the suites, only heard in the complete ballet score. Right. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people will recognize probably towards the end, unless I'm wrong about the particular suite you're using. This is the one that has the famous horn solo at the end.
Yes, it's the finale. Yeah. Most people know it as, and there's the bassoon solo, which is the bursus, and right. a lot of high school students and high school orchestras play what's called the bursus and finale.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's slightly differently titled in this particular suite. For mm-hmm. example, the finale is called the final hymn. Mm. And as you said, it features the horn solo. Right. And of course, it comes to an arousing conclusion.
Some of the most famous brass chords in all of music.
Of course.
At the very end.
Oh,
yeah.
The famous seven chords in the... I mean, it'll just blow your socks off.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful. You mentioned several things that we should probably talk about with our audience. You mentioned the great dancer Diaghilev and producer Diaghilev. You mentioned Ballet Russe, which was... famous ballet company in Paris, actually. It was the Russian Ballet, because there was this big French-Russian connection, right, in Paris. And so all of these Russians were in Paris doing all these art things, including Diaghilev and Stravinsky.
Yes.
And so this was a ballet, I guess, for Ballet Russe. Was that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's so many stories. I mean, Petrushka and, of course, the Rite of Spring. I mean, if you can imagine the great Pierre Monteux conducting the premiere of
right,
the Rite of Spring, and Stravinsky is clapping his hands just to get the right rhythm, because back then, Rite of Spring was considered difficult. I mean, these days, any orchestra can play.
Yeah.
But it's a well-known ballet score for being always sounding new. Every time you hear it, it sounds outside of the box.
Right.
Before that happened, of course, he wrote The Firebird, and
right.
and it's one of the most colorful. I mean, I said when Tchaikovsky wrote Francesca da Rimini, it has signature all over the Fantasia on Tchaikovsky everywhere. But with Stravinsky, it's actually his teacher, Rimsky-Korsakov, who was a great orchestrator. And it had certainly had a great effect on Stravinsky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what a great program that you have coming up tomorrow night in the Helen DeVitt Jones Theater at the Buddy Holly Hall. How can people get tickets?
Yes, you can go on at lubbocksymphony.org or call us at 762-1688. You can come visit our symphony office at 601 Avenue K. And those students who are interested in student rush tickets, show up 1 hour before the show at the box office at the Buddy Holly Hall for $10 tickets with your student ID. What a great deal.
That's a terrific deal, actually.
Yeah.
That's great.
And you have to hear the symphony in this state-of-the-art concert hall. Everybody in the world is talking about it. And if you haven't seen or heard a concert or production at the Buddy Holly Hall, you have to come see it.
Absolutely. Our guest on the front row today is David Cho, music director and conductor of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, the LSO giving a concert tomorrow night in the Buddy Holly Hall. David, as always, thank you so much for being our guest on the show today.
It's my greatest pleasure. Thank you, Clint.